Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM, but we're streaming just about anywhere you could be looking for us. Of course, there's always the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand. But we're also streaming live now on the TuneIn Radio app, as well as iHeartRadio. The producer of the program is George Ruggiero. Follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy Monday.
Our program is very August heavy on the birthday. So my birthday at the first of the month, my wife's birthday, my daughter's birthday, Cerrito's birthday, your birthday. We got August down, Pat. Let's talk about what we got coming up on the program.
Monopoly.
Coach Hurd is over in in Knoxville for Tennessee Elite Camp, so he's going to join us via the phone here in just a moment. Jason Munns is going to join the program. He's had some news about some Tiger basketball additions and, indeed, when people might be showing up on campus, so we want to discuss that and maybe a little schedule talk with him as well. We'll get into the list during hour number two. A good moment yesterday for Tommy Fleetwood as he finally gets his first PGA Tour win. We've also got the Tiger football depth chart. We got NBA 2K ratings for the Grizzlies. So we'll talk about that. Also, during hour number two, George and I will draft our top five favorite games of week one of college football. So we got that to look forward to. But now, let's bring on the man that is, of course, the head coach and team director of Team Thad on social media at Dream Big Hurd. Hurd! Good day, Coach.
Man, great day, great weekend. George, happy birthday. I didn't know
either, so you're not guilty. I didn't know until we got the company emails.
Jeff, happy birthday to your daughter again. I think I told you earlier in the month, and I'm about to sound like one of those kids that make excuses. I see why I don't get no favoritism at the show because my birthday not in August, so I'm starting to see why.
There you go.
Now you know.
Yeah, we're this is only for Leos. I don't know. Are you still a Leo?
No.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know when the months end, but yeah.
Neither do I. Don't worry.
Yeah, I don't know what the sign is, but yeah, we're definitely a Leo. All right, I wanted to start here with you because we all love watching sports, and I got one of the cool opportunities. I did absolutely nothing. But shout out to the boys from MUS and honestly the guys at Bartlett High School. It was a great football game. But we had one of those special moments, and the Owls won on a 37-yard touchdown pass at the buzzer. Like, not, okay, there's 7 seconds left. We've got to worry about the kickoff. Literally, last play of the game, everyone runs dog piles in the end zone, and then you have to do the awkward thing where now we have to like go and shake hands, but like everybody's fired up. I stand by this. I think a true football walk-off is the best walk-off in any sports because it happens so infrequently. And I'm not really talking about kick at the buzzer. I'm talking about final offensive play. Think like, remember when Diggs had the touchdown pass, the Minnesota Miracle from Case Keenum against the Saints. Like when you get a, this game ends on this play, I just think it's unlike anything else because it just happens so infrequently. Far too often we see a play that gets maybe that decides the game, but you know, there's still a little bit of football left. When you just truly have like that emotional response, I just think there's nothing like it.
Yeah, Jeff, you might be hitting on something because I'm thinking of plays like you say. A field goal is nice, but it's a kind of two standstill. But when you come with a whole play,
yeah,
just thinking through my memories because you know I'm a 49er fan, and I'm a I support the Titans. I believe in the playoffs against the Titans back in 99-2000. We had to do the return where you keep throwing it behind you against the Bills.
Music City Miracle.
And the wild card to get to the Super Bowl. I kind of remember the 49ers with their history. I think it was Clark that caught the catch or something either in 87 or 89. Then Alabama and Auburn come down to the field goal.
So the So Alabama's got a couple of them. They've got one good, one bad. They have the kick six. The Tigers are going to win the football game. And then in the national championship game against Georgia, Tua took a really bad sack on first down, and then it was second and 26, and Tua hits, I think it was Devontae. I think he hits Devontae straight up the seam for a walk-off.
Yeah. So
then also you had Renfro caught the pass, the slant. Now it was like a 3-yard pass or 2-yard pass, but I believe that was the final play of the game against Clemson. Clemson beat Alabama, so Alabama's had a couple of them. I mean, that also shows something about Alabama's greatness. Like every high leverage play feels like it matters against them.
For sure. I agree with you, Jeffrey. The only thing I think it could come close, even though I'm more of a football than baseball, I have seen some great, watching highlights of a baseball, you know, walk-off and tied in the ninth and this and a home run, and it's pretty electric, too.
So I've been able to call – I've not called a walk-off home run, but I've called several walk-off baseball games, you know, hit – and ends it in the ninth, and the team walks it off. This was my first true football walk-off, and I have called basketball buzzer beaters. I know, obviously, like, it's my school, but it's like, there's just, this play just sticks with me forever. Like, I think it's because, even like in baseball, when you have the walk-off big hit, there's also something about, you know, oftentimes, like, hey, they play again tomorrow. The fact that, like, MUS and Bartlett, like, that's the one time they're going to play this year. Like, I think they'll be on the schedule again next year. But there's something about the limited amount of games, and when you actually see it in football, it happens so infrequently that, like, you just cannot forget it. And it was just awesome. I mean, it was an unreal play. It helped that it was a great football game, and credit to Bartlett. Like, their community really shows up for that high school, and they've done a great job building up the high school, the facilities. Like, it is a real community event. And so it was like a great game one, but there's just, I'm still buzzing, man. Like, I, you know what I mean? And I had nothing to do with it. I just called it.
No, I mean, y'all deserve, like you said, I think the younger too, like you say, Jeff, when you start talking about high school first week, man, that's unbelievable. And I'm not sure, cause I haven't got deep into everybody's rosters this year, but I know Bartlett for the last 3 years have been a top five. You say y'all beat Bartlett, right?
Yes.
Has been
so
a top five.
Let's also be fully transparent. It certainly helps that Jerron Johnson last year, who ran for, I kid you not, like 335 against us. It was the most anyone's ever run. Like, our school dates back to like 1913. It is the most anyone's ever ran on the school by like 70 yards. And it helped that he's at Mississippi State right now. Like that guy's that guy's an unbelievable football player, and he was an awesome back. But, you know, Bartlett is a very good program. Like, that's the other thing I was trying to tell Brad beforehand when he's like, I don't know the context of the game. Like, it may turn out we're a really good team and they're a really good team. It might turn out that we're a 5-5 team. They're five. Like, you don't know because of the context. I think we'll get a pretty good idea of how good Bartlett is on Friday night when they take on Germantown, because there's one thing I do feel pretty confident about, and that's saying that Germantown's pretty good. But, you know, like, you don't have the context. I was just thinking just the pure emotion of it. Like, I mean, I was trying to go back. I've been watching MUS football since 1997, and I did not remember a single walk-off. There was a game that ended in overtime where we made a defensive stop, but I think overtime's a little bit different because overtime's designed where, hey, you get to the end, like, we're deciding it here. This was just clocks, triple zero, made a play, touchdown.
Yeah, that's big. You said you've been watching it that long. Now, y'all for sure, and I don't want to take any steam, congratulations to all the MUS Owls, alumni. That's big for the kids' morale. I feel like even this week, as long as y'all stay close in the first quarter, I could see games like that. Let's say y'all were a 5-5 team. Games like that can push, you know, guys, like, even the momentum of the team. You know, everything is about.
Oh, I know this is true. High school overtime is only first and goal from the 10. I wanted no part of overtime because Bartlett really started going downhill and really started being able to run the football, and our offense had largely stalled out. And at the 10-yard line where, you know, you're going to try to run the football a lot, like, they were really starting to control the line of scrimmage.
For sure. But with that being said, this Friday, Coach, Germantown is pretty good. And I'm saying that although I haven't been keeping up as much, after the first week you go through some things, Germantown pretty good.
Germantown, I think as of right now, I think most people would say that's the best team in the area.
That gotta be. Although Houston is young, the kill them like that. And I want to get, what's that coach name again in Germantown?
Whitehaven.
He was at Whitehaven, and he played at Whitehaven. He was the head coach at Furley, and it just slipped my mind. But he's doing an unbelievable job. And I say this, Coach, because, you know, just being transparent, I'm in the school system. I got kids at every school. I got friends that are teachers and principals. And there's no disrespect to Germantown, but there's a reason why Houston is so great now, is because that is the school that the city of Germantown supports, right?
It's part of the Germantown Municipal School District. Germantown High School is not.
It's Shelby County now. They almost are going to close it or give it away. They got people busing from, you know, different urban neighborhoods or whatever. So the job he's doing.
Robinson. I was struggling with it, too.
Gene Robinson, yes, sir. I'm glad you remind me of that, because I like to give people their flowers while I'm giving them their flowers right now, like half do it. But, yeah, Coach Gene Robinson, he's doing a hell of a job, because let's be transparent, Jeffrey, and tell me if I'm wrong or not, but, you know, the Houstons, the Arlington's, the Bartlett, it's a phenomenal, the Collierville's, the Briarcrest, the MUS, technically, they have an advantage on him, you know, recruiting. You know what I mean? And for him to be
– Whitehaven might disagree with you, but, yeah, I definitely know what you mean.
Yeah. Whitehaven is a really great – have always been a really great – you know, Mayoros come with the pride, but I'm just talking about the municipal schools and the top private schools definitely have an advantage over the Germantown we know of today, not the one with me and you.
Yes.
Jeffrey, when the town was behind. And for him to go into Houston, I mean, with the – You know how nice Houston is, and the technology and equipment and everything. Man, that was a big time. And if he run through that, I think 6A is the highest level this year. I think this will be one of the best jobs done.
Yeah, I wanted to see. Let me see what Varless has for. So Varless has Germantown as his number one team in the Dandy Dozen. He has Collierville at 2. Southwind absolutely pummeled Lausanne, and Lausanne's got a good program. Southwind's someone to watch this year, too.
Shout out to South Wind, too. They've been good the last 3 years on the low. I don't know if you've been paying attention.
No, they've done a very good job there. Covington's at 4. Lausanne was 5. This is entering into last week. Munford was 6. Whitehaven was 7. They had played Innsworth. Oh boy, I'm glad I don't see I don't see Innsworth on the MUS schedule this year. That's something I definitely take pride in. Houston obviously played on Saturday against Germantown when Germantown absolutely quite the statement to start the year. I think it was like 43-22 or something like that. And then Melrose at 10, they got beat by Central.
They got killed by Central. They say Central pretty good this year, too. People underestimating Central.
And then Bartlett lost to us on the final play of the game. And then Fairley played Millington on Saturday. I don't know what happened on the Saturday games.
Yeah, everything was so much about the Germantown. I hadn't heard much about the Fairley game either.
All right, let's see. Over at the Daily Memphian, they've got a score bug. Because that's the other problem. You know, there was some people played on Thursday, some people played on Friday, and then some people played on Saturday. Kyerville beat East Nashville 28-14. Fairley beat Millington 44-6. So Fairley might be someone to watch, too.
Yeah. You know why they do it. You know, Jeff, when we was in school or in the last 5 years, it was all games on Friday and every now and then on Saturday. I know years ago, I don't know if this is still the case, the reason they do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at one point it wasn't enough officials with
that's definitely – so now every school in the area – like normally we would never play games on Thursdays, but everybody has to play one game on Thursday, and I give credit to everyone with the officials. By making that move, and that means that they're using their best officials the most, like it was a night and day change. Like the games were officiated so much better. Heard on Friday night, we had a freaking like 7-man crew. It looked like a college game.
That's big. And I heard that Houston and Germantown, and maybe I'm behind Jeffrey, but they said, I mean, I don't know if y'all been doing this at MUS, but they say they was impressed how Gene them had the the tents and stuff with replay TV.
Yeah, the huddle, the all the video, watching the, you can watch the plays from the sideline, whatnot. Like, yeah, I mean, you can basically, this is why I used to laugh when we had the whole Michigan sign stealing thing and people acted like that we didn't have the mechanisms in college football to like have coach to quarterback. It's like, no, like this is ridiculous. I cover high school football. Everyone huddles on the sideline and watches a TV to see what they were doing.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, I don't know, I know you do your overreaction later, but do you think like some stuff, how we talk about baseball with Ben, I know the four founders and the godfathers don't like it, but do you think they take that a little too serious in football? Because honestly, even if I know one of your plays and stuff and I get like a Bruce Smith or something can blow it, you still can't fully... I don't think that affects the game to the point, like, you know what I mean? Am I off a little bit on that? To the point that people...
No, I know what you're saying. Because the other, like, does it help? Maybe it helps, like, when a coach is saying, like, hey, you're out of position, here's what it means, and then you can show the video from the press box where you can see, like, okay, you get out of position. But I'm with you. Most of the times when guys get out of position, it's because, like, in football, the offense or the defensive line is just dominating. Like I could get lined up in the perfect spot every time, know where I was supposed to go. I would still get physically manhandled.
Exactly. Because think about this, Jeff. No matter if the like with the Eagles, no matter, it looked like they knew whoever they was playing in the Super Bowl. It looked like they knew they played.
The Chiefs could have gotten every tablet that Microsoft makes, and it would not have changed the fact that they could not block the Eagles.
You know, so I just, for me, man, I don't want to be that guy that's coming asking, but I think about stuff like that. I'm like, why is the Patriots was winning Super Bowls before, you know, they came with the ball inflation. Like, is Tom Brady throwing it that much better because the lit air was out? I think he's pretty good regardless. Right? Like, some stuff I just think we take too far. I get they trying to keep it clean, but I don't know if that affects the game as big of an issue they make it.
Well, and also it's like, we never cared that the Falcons were pumping in crowd noise. You know, they got caught doing that, but the Falcons were losing, so nobody cared. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
We definitely had some, like, Patriots derangement scenario, like, syndrome. Like, whenever, now, I mean, the filming of the people on the sidelines and whatnot, it's like, I also believe that everybody's doing everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think you're, I do think where you're spot on about the sideline stuff in football is some of it kind of becomes like a status symbol of, look, we have all this stuff. How much does it matter in between the games? Like, I don't know if it's like a complete nothing burger, but I guarantee you it matters way less than who's winning up front.
Agreed.
All right, what's going on in Knoxville? We got the Tennessee Elite Camp. Which camp? I feel like, isn't this a little late for the camp series?
Yeah, some people do it. It goes all the way up until now. This was probably the last one because Ole Miss did it a couple weeks ago. And it's crazy, Jeff, how my life flipped a little bit because I'm at the airport on Friday, supposed to be headed to L.A. to the big Nike Academy I originally told you about.
What are we flying? Are we doing the Delta? Are we doing the Delta 6 a.m. to LAX?
Yes. So now they didn't switch it from a.m. Now it's p.m. So
oh, now it's in the evening.
Memphis to L.A. is 6:50, and you get there by 8:50, and then you come back.
Do you stop at the In-N-Out right there next to LAX?
You know what I used to do on some greedy stuff? Before I ever got my rental car, I would Uber to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle.
Yeah. Love Roscoe's.
The one right there by the airport, which is in Inglewood, but it's right by the airport. So I actually would Uber there with my big bag and everything and leave there and go. But so with it delaying, I didn't make it, Jeff. So I end up just, okay, you're more needed than you need to head to Tennessee to the elite camp. So Saturday I go up there. It's just a day all the way to the evening. We had quite a few of the better kids in Memphis there. The number one kid in the state, Dylan Jones, was there. Tennessee Collegiate. You had Bray and DJ, top guys on ESPN from Bartlett there. You had the kids from St. George there. So it was a good Memphis turnout. You had probably about 8-9 Memphis kids and a lot of the top kids in the state. And, you know, I'm a Memphian, so when I go to these places, I get them they respect. I'm on the radio now, so I don't know how much Memphians will like me, you know, bragging on other stuff. But, you know, Tennessee, you know, is running the top program right now in the last few years. They've been like a top five school or so.
I mean,
whatever.
The truth is, like, they have every legitimate accolade other than a Final Four.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they've been consistently great under Barnes. They've won SEC titles. Like, they just don't have the Final Four yet.
Exactly. So, like I said, you said it. We got eyes. I mean, it's SEC, so it's extra nice. They're constantly building more and more stuff. You can tell the SEC money is different. So it was good, man. It was good for the kids and staff do some good stuff. And I got a chance to sit down with Rick. And you know, we also have our guy. I don't know if you remember him, Jeffrey. Morrow, the Cordova graduate, one of my good friends, and he grinding his way from JUCO to D2 to low D1 to South Alabama to La Lemire to California. He's on Tennessee staff now.
I did not know that, but yeah, I know him.
Yeah, Morrow is on Tennessee, and so I'm proud of him, man, because he literally – you know, he didn't get a handshake or play for a university, and they left him on. Like, he literally went through the roles of this stuff, man, for the last 10, 12, 15 years. So, yeah, Morrow is there. So it was just a good thing. Like I said, Ole Miss camp was a couple weeks ago. Memphis elite camp usually be, like, in June or July. That's when Memphis usually do theirs. So I'd have been around to quite a few of them. It's just about constantly getting these kids exposure. And Jeffrey and George, nowadays, you almost got to work even harder to get the high school kids, you know, the exposure they need or deserve because, I mean, the college coaches are just so portal friendly right
well,
now.
Well, I mean, I was actually going to ask about that. Like, so at the elite camps, are they mainly depending on the grassroots organizations or are they, like, Like, how does high school camps work anymore? Because, like, it used to be like, hey, you know, that was kind of how you got your offer. Like, even if teams were interested in you, they wanted to get you on campus to see your camp. Just, I think, honestly, so they could measure you just to make sure that, like, your numbers, whatever you said was true. Like, how much of that still matters?
I mean, like you say, it was like, you know, AAU and high school coaches there. So I see some kids did get some offers today. I'm hearing more going to come throughout the week. I think it's a field process, Jeffrey. Like Jeff, you know me, I'm going to tell you the truth on it, right? And so I know this. I don't want elite camps to become a thing like, you know how like in high school in Memphis, even if a coach got their team or at least half of, they still obligated to throw like a open tryout.
Yeah. Well, so in fairness, the University of Memphis in football is doing that.
Yeah, I'm hearing
they're having walk-on tryouts. Do you see this?
Yeah, I'm hearing they need DBs, but they said they need like must be a DB or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think they've had a lot of injuries in the secondary. I don't think they're looking for guys to start on Saturdays. I do think they're looking for some bodies to fill out practice.
For practice, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I actually seen it. I was in either Knoxville at the airport. I think Gabe might have retweeted it, and that's what caught my eye. Did you see the Gabe tweet?
Yes.
And it kind of caught my eye. I think where they messed up on their football, they would have just said tryouts, but when they started saying must be a DB, oh, okay, we must be low on DB.
Yeah, keep it vague.
But I'm not saying it's becoming that, Jeffrey, but I do feel like, because you got some head coaches that either, one, hadn't been at the elite camps, or two, don't do much. Back when they was accepting high school kids, they would be on the floor. You know, even though the assistants ran it, they would be on the floor. They would do a lot more speaking. I mean, Rick Barnes evaluated, but he sat back. He was talking to me at the table. At the end, they asked him, did he want to stand up and say anything to the big group? He was, oh, I'm okay. Now, afterwards, he took a lot of pictures and, you know, and talked to a lot of parents. But yeah, I think it's one of them things, Coach, where they still got to do it to make sure they're giving. But deep down inside, you know, the portal is what it is, Coach. They know they got that in their back pocket.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about that, like, is it realistic to think, like, all right, I can show up, I'm off the radar, but maybe I get this camp invite? Like, this used to happen. Like, this is the story with Lenoris Sellers at South Carolina. Lenoris got hurt, I believe, his senior year of high school. So he didn't have a lot of tape, but, like, he showed up at South Carolina in the summer, maybe the summer before he got hurt, and they looked at him and it's like, oh my God, this is a physical freak. And he puts up the numbers, but he was like largely off the radar. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, you know, people are like, South Carolina's like, we offered him on the spot. Like, is that still happening? Or is that kind of like, it feels like that's kind of like from a different era.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing now at that camp too yesterday, you don't see seniors there. Used to be a senior would come there.
Yeah, senior camp was a big deal, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't seniors there yesterday. It was more juniors and sophomores. So I feel like if they already not recruiting you by now as a senior, you probably shouldn't have showed up. And then because a lot of colleges either portal heavy now, they know the couple seniors they want. Now they're looking at the class of 2027 kids. So that's kind of where it is. So it was a lot of 27s and 28s there.
Well, and then, like, on top of that, like, I talked to a lot of coaches, and maybe this is happening more in football, but, like, I think it happens in baseball, so I assume it happens in basketball. Like, I mean, don't most of these kids have agents or some type of representation? And then you end up, I feel like so much of the recruiting has just become, like, dealing through intermediaries.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And I'm going to tell you, Jeff, you know, I'm a big basketball guy, but football is so many kids and it's so much exposure wanted, and I don't know if I'm gonna do it in the future, so I don't want to excite anybody, but like, I got top kids and parents have hit me or Thad or people in my circle asking us like they like how we have organized the basketball side, and it's people who have asked us like how we thought about, you know, getting into the 7-on-7, you know, because there's a lot of Asian guys actually do they got their 7-on-7 teams too, right? And so I mean, and it's
I'm telling you from my experience, buddy, I don't know if you want in on that world.
Ugly.
You got a lot going on.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't. They just been hitting us like, oh, you know, I think this is good. It'll help more kids. You know, that's how people hit me. They know that I open my eyes when I hear it'll help more kids. But then, it's some fine print at the bottom that I have to read to see what this really about. But I know it's. I looked it up. Thad told me because he's an overtime investor that that OTE has like a real big time 7-on-7 lead. You don't know how, do you keep up with that, Jeffrey? Because I don't. Guess I don't keep up with it as much as I should.
No, I definitely not as much as, like, you know, when I was in high school, or even like my brothers were in high school. But like now, I know that world. I mean, the joke used to always be that the 7-on-7 world makes the AAU world look like the Boy Scouts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was that crazy. Okay, and I'm hearing that it's more intense now because. Now, I guess everything is legal and all of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense now.
Yeah, that's my understanding on that. All right, so you're heading out to L.A. When do you leave for L.A.?
No, so what I was telling you, L.A. was...
Oh, that was a week ago.
Too, but my plans got changed to Knoxville. You know,
okay.
I see you sometimes. I don't control my life as much as I want to. At the airport Friday, I get delayed instead of going to the next, coming back that morning. Yeah, I think you need to head to Knoxville now. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm heading to Knoxville.
So I'm heading to Knoxville, and that's that. But it was really good, and, you know, that was that. And I know you're happy football back and everything, so it's back time to get to the excitement of sports.
It's game week, baby.
Sure.
All right, my man. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Happy birthday again, George. I owe you lunch or something for September out.
That's our boy. Happy birthday to the birthday boy, George Ruggiero, the producer of the program. He is Coach Hurd, the head coach, team director of Team Thad. When we come back, Jason Munns joins the program. We've had some Tiger basketball news. We got some roster adjustments. We want to talk about that. Some guys showing up maybe this week. We'll get all the news and notes from Munns when he joins us next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
ESPN. Jason Munz is the Tiger basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on X at Munzley. Joins us each and every Monday. Munz, what are we listening to?
This is They Don't Know by the lovely Lydia Lovelace.
All right, They Don't Know. So let's get to, I feel like you spend more time covering the people that you cover at golf courses this month than you have like in other settings.
Yeah, it's part of the thing, man. Like, it is. You're right. Like, I would say that this month I've spent more time at TPC Southwind / Spring Creek than, I don't know, somewhere else where I've spent a lot of time.
The Lori Walton.
Yeah, well, definitely that. But yeah. Over the course of an entire basketball season, I'll bet you're right. I'll bet you that I have spent more time this month at TPC Southwind than I spend there in the course of the season at the Lori Walton facility. You're right.
All right, so I wanted to get into some of the roster stuff, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But last week, Ed Scott was speaking. They were doing kind of the car wash thing where they invited Grind City Media out to football practice. But he had the quote, "Basketball pays the bills, but football has to be our future." In your mind, what does that actually look like?
Well, I would say that that is more than likely a reference to what he told me when he and I sat down earlier this month when he said that the football gets the most revenue sharing, the most amount of money of revenue sharing than any other program in the athletic department. And
at Memphis, to be clear, right? Not just speaking like generally, football gets more revenue sharing money in college sports. You're saying even at Memphis?
Yes. No. Very specifically, he told me we had a one-on-one back earlier this month, and that was one of the things that he told me that very clearly was that football gets not the majority, but it gets more rev share money than any other sport. Men's basketball is number two, women's basketball is number three, and then it goes on down the list. He told me that of the 18 programs that are part of the athletic department that Memphis offers, that 15 of those get some level of revenue sharing. And but to answer your question, my impression of what that means in that quote is that, yes, Memphis is a basketball school. Memphis basketball is our probably definitely biggest brand. But in order to get where we want to get and do what we want to do, we have to – it's got to be football. Football's got to take us there. Basketball can't take us where we want to go. And football, if we're going to get where we're going to go, it's going to be because of football. And because of that, they have to treat it. They have to treat football, a certain way to make sure that, you know, like the athletic department has to hold up its end of the bargain to help football hold up its end of the bargain.
And then along the lines of the FedEx money, does that all kind of just go into the same thing? Because to me it seemed like, and you tell me if I'm wrong, the news really of last week was rather than have the donations going to either the collective or a third party, you know, that represents the school's interest, the money's now going to the school to be divvied up through revenue sharing. Do I have the understanding?
That's correct. The previous the way it was previously situated is FedEx. The money that FedEx gave was like classified as NIL, and with the house settlement, part of the house settlement is the NIL go. Like all NIL money, anything that's designated NIL has to go through that clearinghouse, and you know that's more red tape than most people are willing to have to deal with. And so by redoing this deal with FedEx, it goes from an NIL situation to a straight sponsorship. And so there's, you know, fewer hoops to jump through. There are also some other, you know, differences between the two deals, namely the amount of money. Memphis is not going to disclose how much more money it is getting from FedEx as part of this, you know, reworked setup. Although I've spoken to a number of sources who've indicated to me that the increase is substantial, it's quite substantial of an increase. But and like I said, there are some other more subtle differences, but that's the biggest one. Besides going from a true NIL thing, it's going to a sponsorship thing, and obviously, you know, Memphis has to hold up it has to give FedEx ad space in the end zones. That
right.
was, you know, the thing last week. And so, you know, it's FedEx is paying for something, but yes, the money that FedEx is paying is going directly to the school, and the school will now determine how that money is divvied up. Whereas before, FedEx, because it was NIL, you know, NIL based, they got to have a say in how much each program was getting. Now Memphis gets all the same.
Did Ed speak today as well?
He did.
Did he say anything that you took note of?
Yes. You know, parts of what I just said were sort of further explained to some media who hadn't yet spoken to Ed in the last couple of weeks. And so there was that. And then I asked Ed, I got a story coming out, hopefully very soon. I've already filed it, but I don't think it's been published. But I asked him, you know, with the SEC scheduling news.
Yep.
That came last week.
Nine. So for those that haven't heard, not only is the SEC going to 9 games, what is also included in that announcement is that they are still requiring schools to play another P4 team. So of their 12 scheduled games, 10 will be either SEC games or another P4, and most presume that that can't be great for the Memphises of the world. So continue.
Yeah, it's like moving forward, every SEC school has two open spots on schedule, and Memphis has. I think I looked at it while I was writing the story. Memphis has played an SEC school 4 out of the last 5 years, and they've got. Including this year, and they've got an SEC school on on the schedule 3 of the next 4 seasons. So, what I asked Ed, you know, what does that mean? Are Arkansas and or Mississippi State have there been any conversations about them buying those games out to because they like some of these, all these SEC schools are going to have to make some decisions like soon. They're going to have to cut non-conference games. And Ed said that those conversations have not been had yet, but realistically, he understands that Memphis may be losing one or both or all. Could lose one or some or all of those games on future schedules. You know, or none. Like,
sure.
There's a scenario where you know, Mississippi State and or Arkansas choose to cut other games, maybe not Memphis. It's too early to know. It's too soon to know exactly which direction that's going to go and what kind of effect it's going to have on Memphis football's future scheduling prospects, you know, because, again, it's been whatever season out of the last, you know, however many times out of the last 5, you know, 10 seasons or whatever it is, like Memphis has an SEC school on nearly every schedule the last decade. What does this mean for, like, is Memphis going to be able to continue scheduling SEC teams, you know, knowing that there are so
so precious few opportunities to do it. Ed kind of argued it both ways. He was like, I could see if it depends on what the SEC school wants to do. Do they want to have a tough schedule? If so, he would argue that out of non-Power 4 conferences, Memphis may be the most tough, is like the toughest game you could schedule, but he could see it going the other way too. If they want to reserve those two non-conference slots for cupcakes, he could see Memphis being kind of left out of that.
Yeah, I think it really boils down to if the SEC schools are going to value selling tickets. Like, to me, I think if you value, because this is, Cobb and I were talking about this a little bit. One thing that I think that you'll definitely see with the addition of the extra SEC game, while some years it'll be an additional SEC home game and then other years it won't because of, nine's going to be an odd number. I can see where they're going to start to say, like, we're raising ticket prices. But if you're raising ticket prices, people are going to sit there and go, well, let me get this straight. I can just pick the two games I want to go to. I don't have to buy my season tickets. I don't have to make my donation. Like, if it starts to become, well, we just got to start making sure we're giving games that people want to, that we can sell the tickets. Like, then I think the regionality starts to play into it.
Yeah, and if that's the case, and Arkansas and Mississippi State are thinking that way, and I mentioned them specifically because those are the two programs they've got games on the books for in the coming seasons, then you would think that that bodes well for Memphis keeping those games. And you would think that that would bode well for potentially scheduling SEC opponents in the future if you're talking about, Ole Miss or Vanderbilt or, whatever. So, But who knows? We don't know yet. Ed told me this morning, he's like, I haven't talked to Hunter or Zach yet. They've probably spent the last few days digesting and processing this news just like we have. He made it clear that he's going to reach out to them in the very near future to determine how each program is going to move forward. And, he did allow for the fact, he did say this, however, he was like, I understand that probably one of the biggest reasons why the SEC did this is for increased revenue generation. And he was, he said you would think that with the extra money they would have, they've got all kinds of money to begin with, but you would think with this move that it would, enhance their ability to pay a buyout. If Arkansas, and for the record, the buyout on the remaining two Arkansas games are $3 million per. If Arkansas was to say to Memphis they didn't want to play one of both those games, it'd be $3 million each, and then it would be $1 million if Mississippi State wanted to get out of one or both of those games against Memphis. It would be $1 million per game for Mississippi State.
What did Penny have to say today?
He talked a lot about the new guys, Tierno Silla, and he couldn't talk about a rope because he's not officially formally signed, so he couldn't really talk about him, but he just talked about how having Silla is 6'11", 7 foot, somewhere in there. A rope is right there as well, 6'11", 7 foot. Simon Majok, who told me today that he will be here late Wednesday. He formally picked up his student visa today. He actually sent me a picture of it. He is 100% official and will be here this week to start practice, at some point when he gets his feet underneath him from all this travel. Get this, he's going from Belgrade to Switzerland to Chicago to Memphis. That's his route. And it's going to take him roughly 16 or 17 hours to do all that.
I should have planned his travel.
Yeah. So he
is he flying through? Is he flying through Geneva or is he flying through Zurich? I would have said we should have just gone straight to Amsterdam, but maybe he's got his preferred frequent flyer miles. I don't know. Maybe he wanted to fly Lufthansa.
I didn't get those that deep into the specifics, but it seems like it's going to be quite a travel, quite a trek to get here for him. But yeah, so Penny talked about just like the overall increase in length. Like that's four guys who are 6'11 or taller. Including Aaron Bradshaw, if you include Aaron Bradshaw, and he hasn't had that kind of length ever since he started coaching at Memphis. And just what that does for, you know, because and the other thing about it is they're not really true bigs. You know, he said that we were hoping when we went into the offseason, we were hoping to get a couple of bigs with some size, like some girth, and he doesn't really have that. He's got four, you know, more like stretch fives, who just happen to be 6'11 or taller. But that, you know, has its own benefits. Like it gives them the ability to switch. It makes them, you know, the fact there's four of them, it makes them deeper. So we talked about that. And then he talked about there were some questions about a few guys individually. He's really, really high on Hassan Abdul-Hakim, the 6'8 UTRGV transfer. I happen to think and have for a long time that he is a dark horse for the starting lineup. And based on what, you know, the way Penny talked about him today, I don't think that I feel even more strongly about it. So, yeah, he just talked about his added depth in the front court and then a few other guys. He also talked about the FedEx commitment and, you know, I kind of just, the way I phrased it was like, what else can you say about FedEx and the University of Memphis and like what Fred Smith has done to help Memphis. And so he talked a lot about that. And, yeah, it was a good chat.
How big do you think the rotation is going to be?
I think it's going to be on the longer side, especially early. Like, you know, last year he shortened the rotation, but that was largely because it was like a lack of depth. You know, like you had one four on the team last year, one true four. This year you've got arguably up to six, you know, like if you, maybe up to five, I would say.
Yeah, I feel like trying to identify what position this guy plays is actually the harder part.
Who are you talking about, Hakeem?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, in general, I feel like they have a bunch of guys that, like, trying to nail down a position is like, it feels like it's a lot of combo everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 100% right with like between Zach Davis and I mean,
with the exception of Doug, I do know what Doug is.
You know what though? Like,
You think they're going to off ball him?
I'm just saying it would not shock me in the least to see some Doug McDaniel, Curtis Givens III,
little package
on the floor together, and sort of, you know, mixing and matching a little bit with those alternating with those two on the floor at the same time. Like that would not surprise me in the least. So yes, like that's what I was going to say. It goes all the way to me. It goes all the way to the top. Like you've got just he's got a ton of versatility. And guys who are super switchable and super like can play and guard multiple positions. And like, yeah. So I think because of that, you're going to see a pretty deep rotation. Like again, like you got 15 scholarship guys. I bet he plays, in those first two weeks, I bet that rotation probably gets to like 11 or 12.
Is that disheartening?
I don't.
I mean, this is the classic, like, I mean, in fairness, we need to see how it looks.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's a whole brand spanking new roster. Like,
But in general, I do feel like this is a fair statement. Penny does more with less.
Yeah, yes. He proved that last year.
But, like, even, like, the year, you know, I know it didn't end the way that people wanted it, but, like, the year with Kendrick, like it was pretty established. Like, you know what I mean? Like we weren't really getting a ton into the 12 man.
Two of his three best teams are those two teams, last season's team and the Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams. And those two seasons were
the shallowest in terms of depth that Penny has had. So, yeah, I don't think there's – like, yes, you could make an argument that if he does decide to go 11 or 12 deep and that becomes a regular thing, you know, like – of course, you don't want to just say outright immediately that that's gonna spell disaster, or it's not going to work as good as, you know, not doing that. But if history's any indicator, yeah, you would think that that could be problematic. I don't want to say that it would like.
Well, no, because like to your point, like some of it can also be a byproduct of, hey, those two teams had, you know, a lot of. Let's be real, NIL tied up into a fewer number of players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. I just think that there are a lot of tools in his toolbox that should get a chance to show what they can do. And I'm talking about Quante Berry and,
sure.
and Julius Stedford and
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.